Hey, I'm Bob, and I'm one of the pastors here. I have the privilege in the next 10, 15 minutes to just unpack a topic from our Advent. We've been preaching in our Christmas series about preparing the way through the Advent topics or themes. I love this idea that there's grand themes in Scripture that remind us of basic and glorious truths that realign our lives to live differently. And today the theme is joy. I started by going to my dictionary or Googling it like the kids do today. And I pulled up joy, and here's an actual definition. A feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Some of the synonyms were delight, jubilation, exaltation. And I thought, wow, isn't it interesting that a lot of grand themes get a little bit twisted in our culture and in our experience and in our and everybody's got their own kind of definition. And I went looking, did anyone go through and say, well, biblically, what are we talking about? Or when we talk about this joy found in Christ, and I think John Piper did probably the best wording that I've seen. And here's what he said. Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. Now, that's a great statement. I'm going to read it one more time. Just let it kind of soak in. Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. And isn't that awesome that this response to seeing God in his creation and in all that he's done and in his promises and in how he's revealed himself in his Word should bring this joy in us. And there's a work of the Holy Spirit in that. In fact, in Galatians 5, it says this, that the fruit of the Spirit, so the outcome of a life grounded in the Spirit and a life lived in the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And it talks about this inner freedom to have joy and to have that happening and going on in your life. So three things that I learned that I'd like to share with you really quickly around this grand theme of joy. The first is I don't want you to forget that you were designed on purpose to be a joy experiencer. You were designed for joy. If we're made in the image and likeness of God, He designed us really, really intentionally to have this as part of our experience. It was created to be a part of our life. And the pursuit of it, the desire for it, and the embrace of it is really a reflection of God in us. And it just brings the desire for it because God, that's how God made us, and he made us to respond to it. Just a few ways I can show you that in Scripture. It says that there'll be joy in heaven. Luke 15:7, it says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And it tells us in Scripture that God cares about your joy. How many of you thought that, based on your experience with some people of faith, that when you give your heart to Jesus and when you're supposed to be kind of really restrained, not loud, you know, and when you think of Christians that you know, the very first thing that doesn't come to your mind is that they're filled with this joy that no one can explain, and they're just in wonder at the creation, at who God is, at the stuff they find in Scripture. They're just walking around with this response. This celebration, this emotion, can you believe what God's doing? Can you believe what he did? Can you believe he made that sunset? Can you believe? Isn't it amazing that he loved me this much? God cares about our joy. John 10:9-11 says this, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And Jesus just uses this amazing analogy. Go spend some time in John 10. It's a great passage about his love and care for the sheep, but that his desire that his sheep have this abundant life. And we like to contextualize that and go, oh, lots of stuff. He's like, no. Not really the lots of stuff thing. The freedom to be and respond to God. Be filled with joy. God cares about our joy. Jesus speaks about joy. John 15:11. And these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Luke 10, 19 and 20, Jesus is saying to the disciples, listen, here's the kind of authority you're going to have as disciples of mine and followers of me. He says, behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And Jesus speaks of where your joy should be grounded. David in the Psalms talks about experiencing joy as someone. It says his heart was a man after God's heart. And we have this record of amazing successes and amazing failures. He was chosen by God to lead his king. I mean, through his line, we're talking about Jesus arriving. Listen to what David says. Psalm 16:11, you've made known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 4:6-7, there are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You've put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. And I love how he just contrasts this. The people that have abundance and excess and enjoy every good thing in life, and there's nothing wrong with that. That joy, that human joy, that temporal stuff, it pales in comparison to what God provides. So I want you to know, first and foremost, you were designed for this. You were built for it, that people seek it in all kinds of places, and that our society wants to redefine it is completely understandable, because that's how you're made. And that's what God wants. Secondly, there's a proclamation of the angels that's really cool in the story. So you've got shepherds, not exactly reputable men. I was trying to, without offending everybody, think of a way I could, you know, but just think like drillers. No, Derek, where are you? You should have laughed right out loud. But think about rough people that you know. Think about people that they're just living hard, living on the edge. Shepherds of the day were notorious gossips. They were kind of notorious for their stories and their wild. And why God chose them to send the angels to with this great announcement is just a little bit staggering. But they're out in the field tending their sheep and up to probably no good. And the angel of the Lord appears. And in Luke 2:10, it says this, the angel's message to them. The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I love that. He says, unto you, I bring great news for all people. I think God knew what he was doing when he chose a bunch of reprobates to start with and said, I wanted you guys to scoot off into town and see this thing that's so amazing. It's for everybody. I don't know about you. Ever feel like everyone else is a little more comfortable in their skin or deserves a little more or has a little more figured out? And Jesus' arrival and God's grand scheme and his plan and his desire for you to know joy. And you might say, well, you don't understand. I struggle with depression. And I have all these circumstances. I have all this thing in my life. For all people, everyone, you included, there's a desire of God that reflection of God in you be embraced and enjoyed. And you have deep joy. Secondly, I want you to hear this. He says the news is going to bring great joy, that there'll be something that lifts your heart, that lifts your spirit, that changes everything about your circumstance. I don't have time. Yeah, we'll just keep going. Check out the story of the guy who finds out there's a treasure in a field, and he goes and sells everything, and he buys the field. And people are like, what are you doing? You mortgaged yourself to the hilt, and you sold everything. But he did it because he knew that a treasure that far exceeded what he spent was there to be found and be taken. Think about this in the discovery of great news that brings great joy. Everything about life changes. The fact that you don't have to live in guilt and shame. You don't have to pay for your sin. that there is a way for what you were designed for to actually be embraced and realized. There was a way back to right relationship with God. This is good news that should fill your heart with something that commands and demands a response. Just like seeing the most beautiful landscape, the most majestic mountain, being in this place where you just can't believe that someone knit this all together simply for our enjoyment. Go even further. Good news of great joy for all people. And that joy will bring a response in us. That says the Savior was born. The possibility for you to have a relationship with the living and mighty God. For the effects of sin and brokenness and death, the curse, to be dealt with not only here, but for eternity. The promise, the proclamation, you were designed for this. The promise is given. And then I just want you to know where Christian joy is found. The Bible is so clear. Here's where you look for it. First, through relationship with God. We celebrate the arrival of God's Son, and we know the story. He lived, and he went to a cross in our place, and it says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. And this is what it says about that relationship in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you might abound in hope. And then in Ephesians, he puts it this way, but God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Christian joy is found first and foremost through relationship with God. Secondly, it's produced by the Holy Spirit. I already read you Galatians 5. You know that it's the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. When I went through that list without looking at it, one of you over here came to me and said, I missed one. So, and then I just want you to see that Christian joy is found through life lived in the Spirit, and that there's a connection here in Acts 13:52. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Now, I have to stop here and just... Here's a truth you have to know. You were designed for joy. You are made in the image and likeness of God. It's a right reflection and a right desire. The world tries to take it over here and kind of mix it up and say you're going to find joy in your stuff and in your family. And you will, temporarily, and to a certain extent. But Christian joy, this response to God, his work and his word and his world, is produced through the work of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to see something. It's available in all circumstances. Okay? Here's an important distinction. Do not miss this. Some of you are disappointed with your family relationship. Some of you aren't looking forward to that meal at Christmas time. Some of you are worried sick about your kids. Some of you have been to the doctor and got bad news. Some of you say, I can't take one more thing coming apart in my life right now. How in the world, when we're facing this, when people I love, when we're struggling, when, fill in the blanks, whatever it is, the Bible says, in this world you will have trouble. And let me tell you, for Mary, she had to be asking some questions when she was in a cave giving birth. She had to be asking some questions when she was away from home as a young child, away from her support structure and her system. Or how about the questions they were asking when Herod's trying to kill all the boys, 2 and under, so that this new king can't take the throne? And they used the money from the wise man to go on the run for their life, and they're in Egypt. And they didn't have internet, and they couldn't call home. How many times did the things that she pondered and treasured in her heart need to be there for joy to be found, for her to see God at work in the bigger circumstance? Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians 6:10. It talks about this dichotomy: as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. It talks about this perspective of God that even in the midst of everything being imperfect and God doing his will in the world, joy and peace can be yours. He cares personally about it. He made you in his image and likeness. And he wants you to participate in it. Psalms 51, David has just come out of being confronted about his sin, where he took another man's wife and got her pregnant, then had the guy killed. Kind of a bad plan. Spends a couple years far from God, and the prophet confronts him, and he repents before God. And this joy starts to fill his heart as right relationship with God comes. Listen to him. Cast me a knot away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Let's ask the big question. So what? Yeah. You were designed for joy in your life. You're people who are made in the image and likeness of God. And apart from a relationship with God, you're going to search in temporary places for that joy. So if you placed your joy in new things, in stuff, in relationships, in whatever, and you're always working for the next thing, and it's never satisfying or fulfilling, it's because that grand theme exists. You're just kind of not going after it in an authentic way. There's a right pursuit. And there is a place for true joy, and the Bible speaks much about it. The message of the angels is for all of us today, and it's a news that should bring a response in us. And so if today as I talk, you sense a longing in your soul to be restored unto that joy of my salvation, to have the Holy Spirit produce that fruit in you, to live in light of difficult circumstances, economic times, governments, health, live in a broken and fallen world, with a joy that makes you different, that is possible. And my encouragement today in the Christmas season is to dig into that message. That personal response is important, but the return to the source, the asking of God to do what we cannot, in and through his work and his word revealed by the Holy Spirit, and our response. Let me pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you for the encouragement it was to me this week. Now, as we are so privileged to be charged with the care of the discipleship of these little ones, and as they come to, Lord, with great excitement and lots of chaos, share the truth of your love and what we celebrate, we pray just a blessing on this time. Bless my friends. And take away what's just in me, but what's from your Spirit for us in this grand theme of joy, to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.